But now news that an estimated $1.35 billion of criminal proceeds is generated for money laundering in New Zealand every year. That shocked me. How is this happening and why? I'm joined now by anti-money laundering advisor Ron Pohl. Good afternoon, Ron.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for joining me. I was very surprised to read this. How is this money being laundered through New Zealand?
Oh, a great many ways, but that $1.35 billion is only the amount that's generated internally within New Zealand. That's domestic laundering.
So can you explain the difference to me? My knowledge of money laundering basically comes from watching mafia films.
Well,
so it's pretty basic.
that's not too dissimilar. So that $1.35 billion figure is the amount available for laundering domestically. And what that means, that translates to around $1.8 billion of proceeds of crime generated in New Zealand for laundering. The NZ Police report excludes several important other areas of criminal funds that are generated. So tax evasion is one, and estimates from that vary between about $1 and $5 billion, depending who you listen to. It also excludes transnational crime, and so transnational crime probably fits into, I guess, three categories, really. That's a crime that happens overseas, but the money comes into New Zealand, investment or whatever, it passes through New Zealand, or it just simply uses New Zealand vehicles and professionals. And those amounts are, you know, how long is a piece of string, but they're at least some more billions beyond that.
So the $1.35 billion, that's criminal proceeds generated in New Zealand that is then laundered in New Zealand.
That's right.
Right. So how do they do that? So I'm a drug dealer. I've just made, maybe I've made $500,000. I need to launder it somewhere. What do I do?
Excellent. Well, Mike Hosking said that he wasn't a drug dealer, so it's wonderful that you've admitted these things. But that's probably a separate issue. But there's lots of different ways to launder criminal proceeds in New Zealand. So if you're a low-level drug dealer, so let's say you're cannabis dealing and you've got a few hundred thousand dollars a year, then a cash-intensive business is a very, very simple way of doing that. It might be a restaurant or a dairy or whatever that has a certain amount of turnover, but some of that turnover actually comes from the other business, and you put that through the books as if it's a legitimate fund. Another way of doing it, if perhaps you're a successful methamphetamine dealer and you're a successful person, so let's assume that for the moment, there's different ways of doing that as well. So possibly one of the simplest and easiest in New Zealand is into real estate. And that's an easy way to quite quickly, you'll appear like a successful property developer.
That's so clever. So basically you just go and you've got $1 million, you go and buy a house for $1 million, sit on it, you know, especially one in Auckland, and you make money on that, all very well laundered. Okay, so this seems to have snuck up on us. I noticed that it's just in April last year, police finally launched a dedicated money laundering investigation team. Is it too little too late?
Not really, in a sense. I've done quite a bit of research in this area, as you'd imagine, and New Zealand, in a sense, is actually world-leading in what it's doing. But it's world-leading as operating at the tip of the iceberg. So I've assessed various countries across the extent to which they're actually effective intercepting criminal proceeds. And what that does, it combines two fields of research. So it's anti-money laundering and policy effectiveness. So that looks beyond whether rules exist or they meet standards or countries implement them or firms comply, but whether they actually work. Do they produce intended outcomes? And looking at it that way across a whole range of countries, New Zealand is actually a world leader in this area. We're very, very good at getting the local drug dealers and taking their tinny houses off them. But
that's good to hear.
Yeah, that's right. But of course, when you put that into context, last year in New Zealand, although it was a low year, so it's a little unrealistic, but got $14.4 million, took that off criminals. But when you look at, let's assuming that's all domestic, you compare that to the $1.8 billion, and that's 0.8%. So we tax legitimate.
Wow.
We tax legitimate businesses at 28%, 33%, 39%, whatever it happens to be, and criminals at 0.8%. That's actually a slightly unrealistic figure because the $14 million is actually higher most years. That $1.8 billion actually itself is mostly higher too, actually. So perhaps the figure is still below 1%. But when you look at the UK, Canada, Australia, Europe. New Zealand's a world leader, but it's a world leader as a rounding error.
What about money coming in? So I'm thinking maybe Chinese drug money, they come here, I don't know, buy property, buy whatever. Is that a big problem as well?
Well, it certainly can be. I mean, that's some of the transnational stuff. So New Zealand policy settings are interesting in some respects because we've provided, I'm sure inadvertently, but we've provided a competitive advantage to overseas criminals as opposed to local ones. So if, for example, the local drug dealer is found in a suspicious transaction report and the police go bash down their door at 5 in the morning, they're very good at doing that, they put him in jail and they take his assets. You know, it might be a couple of houses or some such. But if the Sinaloa cartel, for example, in some sort of drive-by purchase, buys 50 Auckland houses 1 month, it's very, very difficult for New Zealand police to do anything about it, even if we happen to know with a great degree of certainty that it's the Sinaloa cartel.
So do we need to do work on that? Do we need to make some changes?
Well, the reason for that is because we have to prove the predicate crime. So we have to prove the drugs were manufactured in Mexico, was sold in America, and et cetera. And that's actually quite difficult. With the predicate crime in New Zealand, it's easy to prove because we turn up at the drug dealer's house and find, you know, the stack of cash and a whole lot of drugs. And, you know, it's a fairly simple thing to prove. But when it's overseas, a crime is actually much, much more difficult, even when it involves, you know, as I say, a drive-by purchase of 50 Auckland houses.
Okay, continuing with our role play, I'm not a drug dealer anymore and I'm not a meth addict, but I'm a real estate agent, right? And and this dodgy group of people come and buy this house that I'm selling for $2.5 million. What does a real estate agent do if they've got worries? Do they report it to the police? What happens there?
Well, it's interesting you ask that question because I've done the only empirical research that's ever been conducted in New Zealand on that very issue. What I looked at was because real estate agents and lawyers have had obligations since 1996 in those circumstances to report suspicious transactions involving real estate, and lawyers have had similar responsibilities for slightly different transactions as well. I had a look, empirically found a new way to identify how lawyers, accountants, and real estate agents are actually used to launder proceeds of crime in New Zealand. And the results were quite chilling in many respects. And what it found was that the intended policy intervention, which was lawyers and real estate agents in this case being reporting suspicious transactions, was successful in 4% of cases.
4%?
Mm-hmm, which is not very high.
No. Room for improvement there, I think, real estate agents. I guess you're getting the money. I guess some just go, oh, well, good sale. It's not my problem. I'll just bank the money and go for it.
Well, that's exactly right. I put a hypothetical to some real estate agents a couple of years ago saying that if somebody, you get an email, use your example, an email from China saying I'm looking at buying a house in the Epsom Girls Grammar Zone, could you give me some details? And a couple of days later, the agent sends details of six houses. A moment or two later, the response comes back, yes, please buy them. And I asked the real estate agents in the room, well, what would happen? Would your agent say, this is a bit suspicious because this is someone who's presumably got six daughters and they each want their own separate house in the Epsom Girls Grammar Zone? Or does the agent think, should have listed 10?
I'm guessing should have listed 10 was the answer you got.
I probably shouldn't defame the agents that were in the room at the time, but that's a very real issue that faces real estate agents and lawyers etc. when they're faced with transactions like that. You know, they're getting commission, they're getting paid, they've got duties and obligations to their client etc. And so it provides a significant conflict in many ways for them.
I guess, too, we're seen as being quite a safe, non-corrupted country. So I guess for people wanting to launder money through us, we're a great place to do it.
Well, that's absolutely right, and that's something that a lot of politicians seem to miss. They seem to think that, there's only that one side. We're a great place to do business. But, if you're going to launder criminal proceeds, you wouldn't pick Nigeria to invest real estate. You would pick New Zealand to invest real estate. So one of the things that makes us very, very good to do business in, easy to set up companies, trusted infrastructure, very good financial system, trusted professionals, etc., also makes us extremely attractive for criminals, because it's an easy way to invest their proceeds. They know that it's not going to disappear. They know that they can make money on it. They can make capital gains out of the Auckland property market, whatever they choose. We may not be their first choice. Vancouver and London and others may well be the first choice for many. But we're pretty good. Mark.
All right, listen, that's been a very interesting conversation. I'm back to being Wendell Nissen, broadcaster. Ron Pohl, thank you so much for joining me.
You're most welcome.
Ron Pohl there, an anti-money laundering advisor. Shocking stuff, right? I'm quite surprised that that's all going on. And I guess it just illustrates how easy it is to do in this country. But as he says, we can catch the domestic ones. Not so easy to catch the ones coming in from international money launderers buying up property, etc. Right.